Now we are talking about the process of training, the steps. How do we go about the process of training? This is one type of a format given. This format is just to give you a simple common sense understanding. Simple common sense understanding, right? So this format is giving us about 5 points. It starts with, on the extreme right of what you're watching, you have the first one which says assess the training needs. What is the training need? Assess it. It's a lot of analysis, detailed analysis you need to do. Derive training objectives. What do we need to achieve as a final goal after the training? I know that a person is having an issue of interpersonal relations with people. Brilliant boy, he's got a very high IQ, but he cannot relate to people. So that is a training need identified. And because he doesn't relate, what happens? His performance is coming down because he's not a team player. Now, when he's not a team player, I've got two things to do. Sack him and get a team player. But that's not the first choice. It should never be the first choice. Never give up on people. Never ever give up on people. See what is it that you don't see in him as a top management. So when you see this in this brilliant boy, you send him for I identify the training needs. Then what do? I've got to ask myself a question. What is the objective of training him? The objective is very clear. I want him to become a team player. But that's not the only thing. To make him become a team player, how do I do it? Different strokes for different folks. I know trainers, some of my colleagues, they create one template, one particular format. And they'll call it team building. And wherever they go, they use the same team building format for all occasions. Behavioral training does not follow one single format. Team building exercise, team building training in the same company for two different groups, you may have to modify the format. Structure will be same, but we may have a different approach because every group of people are different. Now, this is something that requires a tremendous amount of skill from the part of the trainer. Training is not like, you know, having number of training modules ready and just give it out. Okay, what do you want? You want assessment? Take this. You want this? You take this. No, it's different. Every training assignment is unique in its own way. Hence, training objectives to understand is quite a challenging thing. And the training objective is related to the goals and the vision of the company also. So the trainer has to have the larger picture. It's not about taking an MBA or something that makes you a good trainer. Just by doing an MBA HR, you don't become a trainer. Sorry. You need to move with people. And people come in different shapes, sizes, colors and backgrounds. And you must be able to be interacting with all different types of people, and you must learn to challenge your own limitations of addressing people across levels. If you are people oriented, if you don't give up on people, and if you start considering people as the gifts of society, which is very difficult to do for many of us, then what happens is you understand the larger picture of the objectives. See, from wit discussion I'm taking you where it looks very bombastic, it is not. Those excellent trainers who are listening to me, I'm sure you'll agree, these are the qualities you have in you, right? And you need to develop it. You need to develop more and more. You know, you think you've reached it, sorry, after 15 years, yet I start feeling, no, I need more. Because there is so much of mystery about human behavior. Designing the training program. This is the third step is about, once I know the objective, once I know I need to do this, then how do I go about doing it? What are the steps required? What's the format? Is it a one-day format, two-day format, residential, non-residential? Do I have a trainer from within the company or outside the company? Then what sort of a training, what sort of a structure he needs to have flow? When does the training start? It starts at 9 in the morning, ends at 6 o'clock. Is it a residential? Do we have breakaway sessions? There are lots of things in there, right? Then we come to implementation of the training program, the actual delivery. The training starts and the day of action. How it is done. And then we have to evaluate the training program. Has it really desired, has it served the purpose? Has it served the desired purpose? After the training is over, we have to check out, has it really made the difference in the people? Has it met with the training objectives? And after it is done, we get some feedback. We get some information. This feedback or information is fed back to the level one. I have to reassess the training needs. It's an ongoing process. Nobody gets a complete picture. The trainer, the organization, the people who are going for the training program, HR people included, nobody gets a complete picture about what is the training. Let us be very honest about it. Everybody puts his point of view. Now, when we do this, after every program, training program, you will find that there is something that was left. Either the trainer missed out, or it was not conveyed to him or her, or the trainee did not go back and report properly, or the top management has not understood what the training has happened. Lots of communication gaps take place. Very common. Now, bridging the communication gap is also the duty of the trainer. He has to ensure that everything is going on well. Everybody has to understand in his way. There's one person who is only timetable oriented, training timetable oriented. He says, okay, this training is over, tick mark, tick mark, tick mark. For him, once the training is over. He doesn't care about the behavioral changes. For him, the target of number of training programs to be done as a training manager is important. But for the trainee himself, if he is committed, he'll say, no, this training program did not have much value in me. So he'll go back to the training manager and he'll say, look, sir, I would like to go for one more training of this because this was not effective. The training manager will reject. He said, nothing doing, training is over, go. This can happen. Or the HOD says that all training is humbug. He has got his mindset. There are some HODs who are come up the line. They have never gone through training. I am not saying all the people who have come up the line are like this. No. But some, let's say a mindset of a person. So whatever training program you go, when you come back from the training program, he will not accept it. So when you ask him to give an evaluation, he will say training was humbug. So each one gives his own view. Now all these views will finally give us the evaluation. The evaluation is a big khichdi. When the evaluation sheet comes in front of you, you get scared as a trainer. You don't know who's going to tell you what. But you've got to look at it from a bird's point of view. And see that, okay, this is his point of view, knowing him. This is her point of view, knowing her. This is his point of view, knowing him. So once you come to know, then you've got to capture what exactly the organization wants. And then you have to go for the next training need when it comes, reassess it. And the whole cycle keeps repeating. When the whole cycle keeps repeating, it means that the company is truly in the position of what is called as a learning organization. Learning organization. Okay? Now we'll be taking each of them one by one and discussing it. Assessment of training needs. What is the purpose of doing this? To conduct assessment of training needs, HR needs to examine the organization goals, future plans, culture, etc. They need to see the broader picture. Is the company supporting training? Is the top management really serious about training, or is it one of those HR rituals? There's an HR department, all companies are doing training, our competitor is doing training, we don't want to do training, we are doing it only because they are doing it, so we'll see. So it becomes one of the secondary or the tertiary process. It happens in many companies, right? From the job positions, one needs to identify what levels of knowledge, skills, abilities, etc. are needed for the jobs. So for the training needs, the first thing is job need. My job needs this A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So that needs to be identified first. Based on the job performance of the employee, the gap between the job and the job need and the job performance is determined. I've already explained this to you. There's a job need, 100 units I need to perform. The job performance is only 80 units, gap of 20. If it happens once, through counseling, through feedback, maybe the employee will change and he will perform 100 again. He'll come to 100. If it doesn't happen number of times, then that is called as a gap which needs to be filled. That filling of the gap happens through, that is what we are assessing as far as training needs is concerned. Okay. I want to derive the training objective, second step. Assessment of the training needs helps people in preparing a blueprint that describes the objectives to be achieved by the trainee upon the completion of the training program. The trainee is a change agent for the company. He is a person who is going through a change. The trainer is a catalyst. The catalyst is there influencing, suggesting, making him go through exercises, games, etc. Like I told you, I can take the horse to the water. But making him drink, I can't do. I'm very clear about it. If he starts realizing that suddenly he's thirsty, he never realized he was thirsty. But once he realizes he's thirsty, then he himself will say, I want water. And that's the time he will change. The objectives address the gap observed between the job need and the actual job results. the employee has produced. This is a training need. The training need has to be fitted with the training objectives, the larger picture. The training objectives provide the input for designing the training program as well as for measuring the effectiveness of the training program. Once the training objectives are clear, then I know what to train, how to train, and with what final output. And it also helps me to assess the training program to determine how effective it was. Okay. Now we come to designing the training program. The most interesting part of training is designing the training program. I have a team with me, and I'm very glad to tell you that my team members, two of them, are really good. When I give them an input, you know, they start sitting down and brainstorming their design, and they go in all 360 degree direction. Mind you, young people. Designing of a training program usually requires a little bit of skill and experience. And that comes through a lot of, you know, doing a lot of training programs, interacting with people, having an open mind. It takes time for some people. But this team, they know how to design a training program. Now, what is a designing of a training program? You've got to know what to structure. It's like a syllabus. It's like a syllabus. So, what to do first, what to do next, etc., etc., etc. What process do we need to follow? And let me remind you, a training design is not just a fixed sheet of paper with session 1, session 2, session 3, session 4. No. Many people do this. Some trainers who are listening to me, you will feel this is the way you may be training. But you will agree that this requires certain situational changes when the training actually starts in the training program, training hall. So, while I need to have a structure, which is a part of the design, the structure needs to have what I call it as water logic flexibility. How does the water flow? The water flows and it just flows across the path when there is no restriction. When a restriction comes, it flows along it. It goes over rocks. So, you must have that flexibility. At the same time, you have a direction like the water flowing. So, if the direction is X, then the trainer has to ensure that he is going in the direction X with certain modifications. Now, somebody may ask me a question, why the modifications have come? Is it because the trainer did not know what he wanted to do? No. Human behavior is very funny. When you are actually sitting in the training hall, you will get surprises of behaviors of the people. Senior executives will talk something which you never expected. And they'll show you a new direction which the HR people or the HOD did not brief the trainer, which may be a part of the objective. So, any amount of analysis we do to determine the objectives, yet there'll remain something which will come as a surprise when the training is going on. Because human beings are made of that. You have to accept it and you have to learn how to flow with it. So, I tell my clients very clearly that when I'm giving you a structure, the structure is an indicator. It's like a timetable. We know the railway timetable in Mumbai. The local trains, do they come on time? No. But they serve the purpose of reaching us to long distances in spite of getting packed, in spite of the way we travel in packed compartments. Right? Something similar to that. At the end of the day, what is the results you want? Do you want these boys to get transformed into this behavior with these results? Then leave that job to me. I will do my level best to influence them. I will not guarantee people in terms of change or results, but I will give them the necessary influencing factors. And that is my skill. I need to stretch myself in all directions. Okay? So, designing a training program involves studying the training objectives, structuring the flow of the training modules, and what does it address? It addresses the following things. A few points are put here. It's a huge exhaustive list, my dear friends. In my own training manual with my boys in my company, I have something like The training, the modules, the points which we address, it runs to something like 400 to 500 points. Every nitty-gritty part of it we address. Okay? Now, first one, who are the participants? Who are the people who are coming for the program? Are they coming on their own or are they being nominated by the company? Trainings are of two types. One is what is called as a corporate training in-house. Now, I do a training for a company when the company wants me to do only for their employees. I also do trainings which are public trainings. I conduct the training program with a theme. Let's say I talk about how to deal with difficult people, a training program. Now that training program I'll be conducting separately as a public workshop. So there I may have people who are self-nominated, they're coming on their own because they feel that they want to transform. Or companies may look at my advertisement or some through some mailers, they'll come to know that I'm doing the training. They'll call me and they will nominate their people from the management. Okay? So, who are the participants? Now, what are they coming there for? Are they coming for a baby's day out? Just for having fun in a 5-star hotel? No. So, what is a participant profile? What is a designation? What's the type of work he does? What sort of a behavioral traits he has? I need to get this information from the company. Some companies give it. If Mr. So-and-so is coming, then I ask, what sort of a mental makeup does the so-and-so have? Now, who gives me the information? The HR person or the HOD, the person with whom I'm contacting. Now, he or she may give his or her subjective view about it. But I have to take that as a reference point. That is in the background of my mind. Suppose somebody says that he is a man who has got a lot of attitude with people, I should not straight away take it as truth. I have to test it. I'll say, okay, you say that he is having an attitude, let me see. But I get some reference point. Or when he comes there, I can start with a new, brand new outlook. That's also okay. But it's like KYC, know your customer. So for me, I must do what is called as KYP, know your participant. Very important. Okay, who should train? When you're designing a training program, you've got to ask, who should train? The supervisor above, or somebody from other department of the same company, in-house trainer from the training department, or do you want to have training coming from outside people like me? Now, this is something that the company has to decide. How much to compensate? What sort of payments to be made? How do we go about, do we want to do follow-ups? So the trainer, who's to be trained, that covers under that. Next comes, what should be the methodology of training? How should we do the training? Does it go in step by step every day? I mean, say 2 days or 1 day, a 9-to-5 format. Do we have 2 days 9-to-5 format? People go back home after 5, come back again on the second day. Or do we go for a residential training, taking them outbound? Does the training involve some adventure sports or something like that, adventure training? Could we have a training which is happening every month, every first Saturday of the month, only for the next 6 months or 12 months? That is the methodology. Now, in the training, what do we do? Are we going to make people do exercises? Is it going to be only lectures? Is it going to be lectures and exercises? Is it going to be only games? So, there are different ways of doing it. It's very interesting to design this. And it challenges your creativity, the way you think. Right? Next comes, at what level should training be imparted? What level? Is it at the junior level, middle management level, senior level? Is it only for one department or other departments too? For which focus? So that is a part of the training design. What should be the learning principles and the outcomes? Very important. Any training program should have a learning outcome. After doing these things, in any training program, if the trainer is really good and effective, people come out with the training program singing and dancing. They say, oh, that was a great program. And they give you a feedback. They say, this is a great training program. After every exciting film which we watch, we all feel great about the film. When we go back home and we sit quietly, that is the time we are back to our normal self. If you ask me, feedback is on one side, evaluation is on the other side. When I come to evaluation topic, I'll talk about it. Okay? Now this I'm talking about is feedback. What is feedback? The feedback tells me whether the learning outcome is done or not. The learning outcome means what is the purpose of the training program? What should be the final output? There is a person who's coming to the training program with a behavior B1. When he comes out, he should have B2. What should be the nature of B2? This is a thing I need to understand as a learning outcome. Has he learnt skills to convert himself from B1 to B2? Where to hold the training, in-house or offshore? Should it be in the company premises itself? Some companies, because of budgetary reasons, they tell us you hold it in our conference room. There may be some constraints. They may have a very good training center itself. Or they may say, fine, we'll have it outside. We'll hold it in a 5-star hotel or in a resort as a case may be. So these are some of the few points given in the book, which is covering designing the training program. Now we talk about implementation of the training program, the actual action. Implementation of training occurs when the employee returns to the workplace and is expected to apply the learning into action. Okay, this implementation we are talking about in the book is about the post-training program. The training is going on. Now that is coming under a separate area called training and development as a separate standalone subject. Now here we are talking about implementation of the training inputs at the workplace by the employee. Right? So implementation of training occurs when the employee returns to the workplace and is expected to apply the learning into action. So we are observing him. You go for a two-day training program and you come back. If your company is serious about the training, they're really committed, they have invested a lot of money on you and time, and then your boss is also interested, everybody's keen, then first and foremost they will conduct what is called as a debriefing meeting. Debriefing meeting. So you will come back, and to the concerned people with whom you're interacting, who are concerned about your training program, you have to give them a small presentation. What went through the training program? What did I learn? They will ask you questions. They will try to calibrate. They will try to fine tune and check out whether you really learnt. Whether you really went through the churning that is required for you to get the skills. So, this is the part of the implementation which they want to assess. Implementation is effective only when there is a post-training hand-holding, follow-up and motivation. I am of the very strong view that a training in one day or 2 days, no changes take place. Behavioral changes take place only when there is a hand-holding. Just imagine the time when you learnt to walk as a toddler. First time you were crawling on the floor and then you start toddling. There was this mom, your mom held your finger and she slowly took you ahead and then she left you. Then when you went, you again fell flat. She did not lift you, she asked you to get up. So when you were going further, again when you fell, again she took you up. Hand holding, very important. And follow up. Follow up means I have to have repeated revision sessions wherein the trainees are going to tell me what they learnt in the training program, the first module. After 3 months, I meet them. So during the 3 months, what are the changes? How did they apply it into action? Having applied into action, what are the challenges they are facing? Doubts they have, they'll ask me. If they made a breakthrough, then they'll talk about the breakthrough. Thereby, they'll show the enthusiasm that something really has happened. They'll get a backup from their own bosses in the form of a testimonial saying that, yes, this person has changed. And in the follow-up sessions, I usually make it a point to invite the HODs, the supervisors, so that they know what the sharing is going on. The company has to get a picture that the trainer is serious about what he's doing. And he's committed to the goals of the organization for which he has been called. Right? It needs skilled trainers with commitment and persistence to drive the implementation into effectiveness. Very important. It's good to talk about training. And there are trainers and trainers and trainers in this country, in this world. Training is seen as a job by many people. You go to a company, talk something, influence them, show some movies, make them play some games, and the training is over and we all live happily ever after. No changes take place. One fine morning they say the training becomes a bad word. Now the trainer should have the commitment and he must really feel that he is a part of the organization. He becomes a partner with the organization. And he must ensure that he has to get into a very strong committed communication with the company, the top management and the powers that be, to tell them, look, you have to take training as seriously, as committedly as the way I am taking it. And to that effect, he must ensure that with that commitment, he has to make the thing happen. He must ensure that their internal implementation that's going on, he must do everything to make that thing happen. He must show that commitment. And he must encourage the top management to come with the same commitment down. Not all of them respond, but he must keep doing it. Mind you, friends, this comes as a risk. Sometimes top management do not like trainers pushing them. So what could happen? The trainer will lose his business. That's the trainer's call. He has to be very sure about what he talks. But in most of the cases, very right thinking top management, they'll say yes and they will become a partner in the whole thing. This is how transformation takes place. This comes under a separate area called OD, organization development, wherein we talk about training that is happening with the changes that are happening concurrently. It's a very big area. I conduct some OD interventions for companies and here we are talking about a larger picture involving everybody. Okay? Evaluation of training program. Evaluation helps in determining effectiveness and the results of the training program. Now, let me add something here. I spoke about feedback. Let's not confuse feedback with evaluation. Feedback is not mentioned in the book. Now, what's a feedback? A feedback is given immediately after the training program gets over. The training program has got over today in the evening at 5:30. Evaluation feedback sheets are given. In that, there's a whole lot of things we ask. Did you learn the skills? Was the trainer effective? Was his communication okay? Was his attitude okay? Was he aggressive? Okay, how was the amenities arranged in the training hall? If it's a 5-star hotel, okay, did you get the food properly? So many things we ask, right? Now, invariably what happens is people give comments because they are fresh after the experience. Now, whenever a person is fresh after an experience, he is always giving an emotional comment. So, I do not really regard that very high. That's an emotional reaction coming. It could be a strong reaction against something. It could be a strong reaction for something. That doesn't evaluate the training program. It only gives you the feedback of how the process flowed for the day. Period. Evaluation should take place much later. 2 months, 3 months, 4 months later. Who evaluates? First and foremost, the trainee becomes the center of the evaluation. And then the people who have not been associated with the training at all, the user departments, the HODs, who were not a part of the training, who want the training to be effective in their work, they are the ones who will assess. They do the evaluation. It is that evaluation we are talking about, not feedback. Okay? Evaluation helps in determining the effectiveness and the results of the training program. It helps to find out the degree to which the training objectives have been achieved. It's amply clear. A simple questionnaire is used to evaluate the training program. Usually they give a questionnaire. Questionnaires don't mean a thing. There may be a Likert scale 1 to 5 or you know some scale wherein they'll say strongly agree, strongly disagree, or they may have some close-ended questions. They may also have open-ended questions. Questionnaire is given. But more than the questionnaire, I've got to go and interact with the person. That is not formatted in any paper. So when I interact, I'll find that there's a lot of things that he or she tells me about the effectiveness of the training program. Okay? Besides, feedback is taken from the employees with whom the training participant interacts daily. I've already explained. HRD also needs to evaluate cost effectiveness. Very important. The company is allocating some budget for training. Are we really calling the right people to train? Are those people too expensive and not giving the proper results? Or are they taking good amount of money from us and they are giving fantastic results? You've got to look at the cost effectiveness. Some clients come to me and they negotiate. I said, no negotiation with me. You give me so much or you don't give me so much, period. If you think I'm not good, don't give me. But this is my rate. Now, there are various views towards this. I'm giving you my view, right? So, I talk about cost effectiveness. So, cost effectiveness means when you're paying some money, people have the mindset of looking at the money in absolute terms. They cannot imagine the benefits. The benefits come, the benefits is the value that the company gets. Value and money can't be associated directly in the minds of certain people. So, HR has to be very clear about what is the cost effectiveness. Not the absolute cost, but the cost effectiveness.